Well, as I mentioned before, we are going to be chatting with WYSO Midnight Ramble host Tom Duffy. We're celebrating our music hosts here on WYSO. And if you've never had a chance to listen to the Midnight Ramble on Saturday nights on YSO, we're going to give you a taste of what you'll hear as well. We're going to start off, actually, with a track that you may be hearing on Saturday nights on YSO. This is called Banjo Pickin' Girl. We'll be back to talk with Tom Duffy right after this on Excursions.
Oh, I'm going around the world, baby, mine, baby, mine. I'm going around the world, baby, mine. I'm going around the world, I'll be better thinking, girl. I'm going around the world, baby, mine. Oh, I'm going to Tennessee, baby, mine,
baby, mine.
I'm going to Tennessee, baby, mine. I'm going to Tennessee, don't you try to bother me. I'm going to Tennessee, baby, mine. Oh, I'm going to Arkansas, baby, mine. Oh, I'm going to Arkansas, baby, mine. I'm going to Arkansas, you sing your lawn call. Oh, I'm going to Arkansas, baby, mine. Oh, I'm going to Chattanooga, baby, mine. Oh, I'm going to Chattanooga, baby, mine. I'm going to Chattanooga, and from there on to go. Oh, I'm going to Chattanooga, baby, mine. I'm going across the ocean, baby, mine. I'm going across the ocean, baby, mine. I'm going across the ocean if I don't take my notions. I'm going across the ocean, baby, mine.
Banjo Pickin' Girl, just one of many amazing tracks that you can hear every Saturday night on WYSO as part of the Midnight Ramble. I am Juliet Fromhold, filling in for Nikki Dakota, and every Monday here on Excursions, we are celebrating WYSO's music hosts, all of the wonderful people, all these wonderful volunteers who bring you this great music, all this great variety of music each and every week here on WYSO. I'm joined in the studio by Midnight Ramble host Tom Duffy. Tom, welcome.
Thank you, Juliet. I have to tell you a little bit about that last cut, because your listeners are probably shocked by some of that music. Part of the shtick of the Midnight Ramble on Saturday nights is to reach back in the vaults and pick out what I consider gems from mostly the history of country music. And so my attack is to try and listen to the music behind the poor technology. So you hear these old scratchy records. That was a record made in 1939, and so it comes to us on 78 RPM records, and we re-record them on the CDs usually now. But you have to get behind the scratches on those old 78s and listen to the music, and then you're just blown away. You're bowled away by how, in some ways, of course, that old mountain music, but that was the Lily Mae Lefford and the Coon Creek Girls. It's an unsophisticated music, but that unsophistication sort of belies the excitement, the emotional content of much of the music, and that's what we really want to get into on the Midnight Ramble.
Absolutely. In that last track we just heard, there's so much energy behind that music. And it really shone through the eras, the decades.
That period in musical history in our country, in popular musical history, is an exciting one. And that's all I like to reach back to that, especially in country music. Because all over the United States, and this is at the time a young girl from Kentucky. This Lily Mae Lepper is playing the banjo on that and singing, and this was a time when the radio stations were all live music. There wasn't anything like spinning records. Everything was live, and so there was a very exciting period there where they took the folk music that they grew up with, and they made it. They made it. Presentable on stage and on air, on radio. And so there was a quite a flowering of creativity that resulted in what we now know as country music. At the time, it was just folk music adapted to a sort of an audience with a radio on a radio station. You know, so it's very cool to listen to and to think about.
And speaking of live music, you also, as part of your show, will have live bands in the studio as well.
I think that's an important role of radio. I like to reach back to that tradition in radio, as does Juliet Fromhold on Kaleidoscope. and that's a very important role I think WYSO can play in the Miami Valley area. There's no other station that does that. No other station provides live music. And that's I'd hate to leave that completely. I enjoy spinning records, and I know Juliet does too, but on the other hand, a mission of radio, local radio, should be to present some of its local players. I think part of the whole thrust of folk and country music as well is that music should be a community event. It should be something made by us and not something that we buy or consume. And so that's very important to me to think we need to move away from this model. You just go down or you download it from iTunes. You just download a tune. You know, these are real musicians, real people, and they should be able to play to real audience. And that audience and the musicians should be us. It should be us. So that's what we do on WYSO, and that's what I like to do on the Midnight Ramble. And this next month we have coming up two bands, the April 16th. We're going to have the Corn Cobs, a string band from Cincinnati, and then the next weekend, the 23rd, Ann and Phil Case will be here, a wonderful country duet from Germantown area. So, yeah, I like to – and these people, they do it for free. You know, they do it for free because they understand this is all part of their mission as well. They like to share their music, and it's a wonderful way to get it to get out, you know, to get that music out.
And as I know, you're a musician yourself, and do you?
Some people would say that. Some people would argue with me on that.
As being a musician yourself, do you find that you know there's sort of a special privilege being able to share the music, you know, of your peers and those who have gone before you through, you know, your radio show?
Well, I think so. I don't know if being a musician is part of that thrill. But certainly I think all the hosts up here at WYSO enjoy, in a sense, it's a real ego trip to be able to do that, to come up and play music for other people. But it's also, once again, I don't mean to overdo it, but it's like a mission. It's like, it's what I want to do. I like sharing it, and I hope other people understand that attitude. And generally, if audience reaction or if telephone calls that we get, we do have some resonance out there with what we play. And you got to look at what's played on WYSO as far as those disc jockey type things. The local hosts that we provide this platform for, they all have a unique perspective, and it result is a tremendously unique radio station and approach to presenting music. Again. There are very few stations even within the public radio realm that present different styles of music like we do. I mean, it's a very unique setting, and I'm very proud to be a part of it.
It is something very special. And tell us a little bit about how you got started at WYSO. I know you have sort of a long and rich history with the station.
Yes, and we talked about that. I don't know if that's good or bad. It's either I never moved on or maybe found something that once again resonated both in my personal life and in the community. I first started here at WYSO when I was in high school in WYSO is from Yellow. We broadcast from Yellow Springs, Ohio, and I went to Yellow Springs High School, and was already into this old time music, and liked to proselytize about it, to get converts, and approached the general manager at that time, Joanne Wallace, who is now out out in California. I forget what radio station she's at, but she's a manager out there, and so she spent her whole career in public radio, and I had a lot of respect for her even back in the 1970s. She was a very strong woman with a clear vision of what radio should be. And she took a chance on this young high schooler, and I tell you what, we started playing old-time country and bluegrass music on WYSO and just found a tremendous audience waiting for that. Dayton area, the Miami Valley area, has long been a hotbed for bluegrass music, especially as a lot of people, especially in the 1940s, 50s, and 60s, came up into the Dayton area from the upper south, from Kentucky and West Virginia, came over from West Virginia to work in the at GM or at Frigidaire, NCR, and we plugged into that. We were very fortunate in a way to plug into that history, and it was an explosion. In 1971, when we first started, there was a real explosion, and something we didn't quite anticipate, that there would be such this resonance. And we started playing on Saturday nights, and it morphed into a Saturday Night Request show. And literally, we would be my brothers and I say we. I had two brothers that were involved in it as well, my brothers Dan and Jim. And we would be all up here shuffling records, answering phone calls, and getting on the live, or not the the live requests, I should say. We did have live music at that time as well. Some great memories of live music from those years. I remember when the Xenia tornado hit, that was 1974. We were up here with two great mandolin players, Ron Thomason and Frank Wakefield, and what a strange event that was. We actually left the radio station and went down to Xenia and did sort of relief work all night long. It was just and came back here, I think, about 1 or 2 in the morning and did a sort of live update about what was going on down in Xenia.
Oh, wow.
It was, but I still have a tape of that. Still have a tape of Ron and Frank. Ron and Frank did the – we were supposed to interview them, but we took off because we had – we did other kind of work, and so we took off from the radio station and left them. But an interesting so lots of good memories of live music, even at that time, here on WYSO.
Well, I think let's give everybody another taste of what they can hear on the Midnight Ramble, and then we'll be back to
talk
some more.
Can I introduce it just a little
Absolutely.
Bit as well?
Please
right?
do.
Too much talking maybe, but this guy, I joke because I need my weekly Ernest Tubb fix. Those of you who probably have some recognition for the name Ernest Tubb, but he was famous for a good reason. And sort of I like to get into the sociology of the setting as well. And so Tubb was coming. This is 15 years later after that last banjo cut we heard. No longer is it strictly folk music. It's becoming more commercial. The instruments are electrified. Although Tubb was famous for keeping it very simple, and you can hear his famous guitarist, Billy Bird, he'll call out his name, kept it those single-string lead breaks, but they're so extremely simple. The odd thing is that Billy Bird was a great jazz guitarist and was capable of doing much more. So this was something, in a sense, it was thought out. It was intentional to say, I want to keep my music simple, and he did it so well. So let's listen to Tubb do a I'm in a crowd, but oh, so alone.
Tonight with another I'm dancing, and we're smiling at the rest of the crowd. But I can't help wondering about you and your new love, of whom you're so proud. At night I'm never alone. I'm afraid that I'll weaken and fall, and I'm afraid that you will be gone. I'm with a crowd, but oh so alone. You gave me, you signed it with love, you'll recall, and the one of me that you wanted, is it now hanging face to the wall? At night I'm never alone. I'm afraid that I'll weaken and fall, and I'm afraid that you will be gone. I'm with a crowd, but oh so alone. Keep smiling. Maybe I can fool the world, don't you see? And perhaps someday I'll forget you and lose this heartache that you left with me. At night I'm never alone. I'm afraid that I'll weaken and fall, and I'm afraid that you will be gone. I'm with a crowd, but oh so alone.
For there was another by her side. I thought someday she'd be my bride. Too late, too late. I saw those dark eyes fade away. Too late.
some great music here on Excursions on 91.3 WYSO. I'm Juliette Fromholt, sitting in for Nikki Dakota today, and every Monday, starting last week, we are celebrating WYSO's music hosts, the great people that bring us the rich variety of music that you hear each and every day here on WYSO. We are joined here in the studio by Midnight Ramble host Tom Duffy. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you, Juliette. You say it's great music, and I hope it is. I hope it is to your listeners as well. It may be somewhat of an acquired taste. It's sort of hard for me to judge anymore because I've spent my life listening to this music. Right? I was attracted to it as a very young, I would say even a child, in my early teen years. And so I've listened to it my whole life. And so it seems to me it's as natural as can be. To some of your listeners, this may be rather old and ancient music. But I guess part of my approach to it is, one, the music intrinsically has value in itself. Two, it also helps me understand who we are as a people. I like to think about music in many different approaches. One is, as I mentioned before, I hope I'm not overdoing this as well, but I'd like to look at the setting the music was played in, who played it, why were they attracted to that music, why did it resonate with them. And to me, I've always had the nature to look back in history to understand. To me, history helps me understand not only it's not so much as where we are going, but who we are not right now, who we are, because these are the cultural artifacts that informed our parents and our young lives. And it's important to me. It's the old Saul. The Socrates, the philosopher, once said, the unexamined life isn't worth living. So this is just a way for me to examine life and examine what are the roots that led us here. Partly it is, as I said, the intrinsic value of the music, and I do believe it has value. Partly it's not only the good things all about it, the good things like the celebration of family or the celebration of the old home place is core to that sense of country music. But we also look back and try and understand what are perhaps the bad things, the racism, the sexism that were involved with these the way we lived in the early part of the 20th century. That's important to understand as well and can be understood in the reflection of the music. There was a lot of listeners to the Midnight Ramble know that I like to go back, and I must admit the focus is on sort of the white country music tradition, but I like to celebrate the African-American influences on these old-time singers and performers as well. And although I must admit, as everyone knows, there is nothing when we talk about culture of the United States that you can leave out the issue of race. It informs everything. But it's in striking to me as I look back and I think about and I read about these old performers how much cross-fertilization there was between black and white musicians. And it's not just the fact that, say, the blues tradition informed rock and roll. That's just not it. In the early part of the 20th century, especially in the later part of the 19th century, there were distinctions to be made, of course, between black and white, but they were not as set in stone as we think they were, and they are today even. There was a lot of movement back and forth, especially in rural areas. A lot of, I think of this, well, the music we just heard, I would call in the string band tradition. And the African participation in that tradition was very, very strong. And it's something that was lost as the 20th century moved on and became perhaps more polarized. So it's interesting to go back and find those things out about the music as well.
Absolutely. See, it's sort of the musical history and how the music informs music today, but also culturally, so much context there.
It's how we inform ourselves, you know. And I can't do that without looking back, and this is part of that thrust, I think.
How do you, when you go about putting a show together, how do you pick and choose? I know you mentioned, you know, you always have to have sort of your essential earnest tub in there.
Yes. We were talking to Juliette before we got on the air. We were talking about the sort of shocking our audiences. And to a certain extent, I like to push the boundaries as well. And in my interest in these old-time sounds in the country music tradition, it can be very wide. And what we've heard so far on this show, we've heard two or three cuts, basically in sort of the Southern Mountain tradition. But that tradition is far and wide, and so I like to bring in the fiddlers from the Maritime Coast up in Canada, which I consider it's all one sort of folk music. And we moved down into the, you know, people like Grandpa Jones and the musician whose son owns a store up in Springfield, Bradley Kincaid, a tremendously influential singer in the 1930s. They spent years and years up in the New England states playing the old ballads like that. So I like to move from that and feature songs from Pennsylvania as well. And Doc Williams, the guy who spent a lifetime at WWVA in the National Jamboree in Wheeling, West Virginia, who just died this past month, spent a lifetime there playing Pennsylvania music, essentially. I like to look at Ohio fiddlers especially. And Illinois fiddlers. I like the fiddle tradition. Missouri has a wonderful, rich history within this music, and those things aren't seen very often. I also like to go down to Louisiana and play the Cajun music and go out west and play cowboy music, and we'll even go out to Hawaii. So your question was, how do I program and choose? I like to focus in on, say, an Ernest Tubb piece and play a couple sort of Nashville-oriented songs, but then we'll just jerk you around and go to a whole new aesthetic. Like, we'll go to this next cut.
Sure.
Because this is something different than what we've been listening to. In the middle part of the century, there was an exciting movement out of Oklahoma and Texas of combining this old string band tradition with the current sounds on the radio, the jazz sounds, the sounds from people like Fats Waller or even the white guys like Benny Goodman. And these young, mostly young men, but sometimes young women out west were listening to those popular tunes and then combined them with the fiddle tradition that they knew, the string band tradition. And what resulted was an exciting new movement called what we now call Western Swing. It didn't have that name then. But here's a fellow from Georgia, Hank Penny, a band leader with a remarkable young steel guitar player by the name of Noel Boggs, who's still alive today, and a wonderful young guitar player called Merle Travis. And they're presenting this music in a – you'll hear the difference in a very exciting way. And this is what I like to do on my show. I like to go from those old ballads. We just heard Molly O'Day and Lynn Davis, husband and wife team, do Too Late. And like to let's go to a different aesthetic and listen to Hank Penny with the steel guitar stomp.
Now here's Noel Boggs with the steel guitar stomp. Take it away, Noel. Yes, take it away, boy. All right, it's son. Yes, yes. Here comes Merle now. Take it out, Merle. Oh, pick that box, boy. Pick that box, yes. Thank you.
hearing some great music, a sampling of what you can hear every Saturday night from 9 to midnight on the Midnight Ramble. It's hosted by WISO's own Tom Duffy. We are talking with Tom as part of our celebration of WISO's rich heritage of music and rich variety of music, brought to you every week by our fantastic volunteer music hosts. That's a great tune, Tom.
That was wonderful music, and you just can't help but tap your foot to that stuff. And I was mentioning to Juliet while we were here listening, a lot of these musicians were listening not only to the popular radio, the swing bands here in the United States, but they were deeply influenced by the Hot Club of Paris and the Django Reinhardt, Stephan Grappelli sound. A lot of the fiddlers tried to mimic that. And I find cross-fertilization and music at the margins the most interesting to me. I like this idea of influences moving back and forth. And that's where I think creativity blossoms and flowers, and I like to hear that. Juliet, we were also mentioning before about Ray Garrison. I like our Saturday night line, or Saturday, or even just our whole day Saturday here on WYSO. I sort of think of it as an acoustic a living room, a nice, comfortable place to go for acoustic music on Saturdays, with Norm Whitman starting at 1 o'clock and Cindy Funk doing an all-Irish show at 3. You know, we have Down Home Bluegrass at 6. And we've been very fortunate to have to attract not only with Norm and Cindy, but a whole gang of hosts to do the 6 o'clock bluegrass show. Currently, I mean, Joe Colvin, Steve Shaw, and Doyle Wright.
And Amy and Travis,
Amy and Travis were last week. Yeah. So we're very pleased to have that, and I like that sound. There was another person involved with that, Ray Garrison, who was here for many years, for almost 2 decades, doing the Midnight Ramble. So I took the show over from him after his death. He died an early death. Cancer takes so many of us. But I like to think I'm keeping that tradition on, and it's clearly with this particular show, I may have expanded the vision a little bit, but basically it's Ray's vision. So I like to tip of the hat to Ray and say we'll continue that on as long as we can.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, in mentioning our Saturday lineup, you can see so many connections between the different, you know, these different genres, if you will, that are all very connected, you know, both by the acoustic sound and the tradition, and then sort of branching out. You know, we've got Shake and Dave on tonight with the blues, and you were talking earlier about, you know, sort of the connections with the blues and, you know, and the jazz connections. And so it's really neat to look at the diverse musical palette of WYSO, but then to connect those dots.
I'm all into connections, and I think if I also am a great fan of many other types of music, including different world musics, and I think just some of the most exciting music in the world is Lebanese, if you get into Lebanese music. But my point is, and bringing that up, is that probably all these musics you mentioned are American music, you know, mm-hmm. and they can be recognized as such anywhere you go in the world. In a lot of ways, there's not a whole lot of difference between Etta James and Tammy Wynette. You know, they can do the same songs, and they did. They did the same material. They just had a little bit different arrangement to it. But they're recognizably the same type of music. So we aren't as far apart as perhaps as you get closer and closer, you make more of the distinctions. But if you take the global view, you know, it's all one, and it's so wonderful to make those connect those dots. I had an exchange with Shake and Dave a couple weeks ago because he played a tune that was on his show that was straight out of the country repertoire. So I sent him a version of Hank Snow doing it, and he said he was going to play it on his show, but I don't know if he ever did. But once again, it's the same music, you know. There's some variations, but you connect the dots. I like that.
Absolutely. Well, we are just about out of time, but I definitely want to get this last tune in here. But before we get to the music, Tom, I want to thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you, Juliet. I appreciate the opportunity. Thanks, Nikki, as well. Shame on you, Nikki, for not being here. But we had a good time.
That's right, we did.
Let me just this last group then is the Carter family. I went back in time for this to get perhaps the old mountain sound again, the sort of the foundation of the music, sometimes called the first family of country music. This is two women, Sarah and Maybelle Carter, who were cousins, and A.P. Carter, Sarah's husband. So it's sort of a family unit. They played clearly down-home music that we're going to hear. The guitarist and the instrumentalist of the bunch was Maybelle Carter, who was an extraordinary guitarist, who probably had as much to do with the current popularity of the guitar as any single person in the 20th century. I mean, she just has to be considered a giant of instrumental music. She played in many different styles, and I wanted to say that we talked about sort of the racial aspect before. She learned from a black guy. A guy named Leslie Little taught her Riddle, taught her many of her guitar styles, and she would even do the finger picking style they say that, say, Mississippi John Hurt was famous for. So they had an extraordinary instrumentalist in the group, a wonderfully evocative alto singer, Sarah Carter, and they did a wonderful variety of what you recognize as down home music. So here's some down home music from the Carter family. This is the old waltz.
It is.
Thank you,
no problem. This is The Storms Are on the Ocean.
The Storms Are on the Ocean. You better believe it. Let's hear the Carter family then. Thank you, Juliet.
Thank you, Tom.
I'm going away to leave you, love. I'm going away for a while. But I'll return to you sometime if I go 10,000 miles. The storms are on the ocean. The heavens may cease to be. This world may lose its motion, love, if I